What is Shavuot, otherwise known as Pentecost or the Feast of Weeks to you? What pictures come to mind? The first fruits, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the Ten Commandments given to the house of Yaakov at Sinai? Richard explores these things today in this discussion at Hallel Fellowship.
So on this day of Shavuot, this day of Pentecost, what is it to you? What is this name? What is this time? What is this event picture or have a whatever's in your mind? Okay, please. Please raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Yes.
First fruits.
Repeat again.
First fruits.
First fruit. We'll talk about that today for sure. Nobody has any more questions? Oh, it's Jeff. There we go.
Well, Yeshua promised to send the Comforter at that time. He poured out his Holy Spirit on the New Testament church.
We'll talk about that today, too. That's very good. Go ahead.
I'm going to be totally upfront. I know absolutely nothing about Shavuot.
I love the gift of the Father, connecting not only the Holy Spirit coming out and birthing the church, but connecting the church, the Gentile church, to the Passover. That's just awesome.
Oh, another question or thought.
Well, the Ten Commandments were also given to Moses on Pentecost.
Given to the house of Israel, all of them. All the house, say, the house of Jacob. Let's put that terminology, all right? Another question? No statement?
I think in the Parsha, you know, where the Lord, at the very last verse, it says, they heard the voice of God when he gave the Ten Commandments.
They heard thunder. They heard like trumpets sounding loud and shrilling, and it terrified them on the day of the Ten Commandments. But in Acts, it was a different sound. All right? It wasn't the sound of frightening, of terror. It wasn't the sound to make you pay attention. It was a different sound. It wasn't a trumpet. It was not a trumpet. And that's very important as we continue here. Before we go into, we'll say, the book of Acts. By the way, it's called Pentecost because it has to do with counting. 50, it's a Greek word. I'm not offended by English words, by the way. I'm not offended by Hebrew words unless they're foul, okay? Then I'm offended. You don't have to turn here. I'm just going to read two verses in the book of Exodus and the 12th chapter, just the first and second sentence. That's all I'm going to read for right now. Then we'll move on to the next thought. But I want to I'm trying to have an over picture of something. And if you kind of follow through with what I am trying to say today, I have a hard thought, hard things come out of my brain and make it say sense, make sense, make sense. I told my daughter-in-law 2 weeks ago that I feel God is having me to do something. I don't know what it is yet, but I got to put my thoughts down. And she said, how you can do that? And I says, I don't know. I got to put it down. So I started writing my thoughts. When I write, by the way, by hand, not by typewriting, you know, I don't write. I print every letter. Every letter is a print letter. Because that's my world. I mean, for 50 years, guess what I did for most of life on drawing? You drew every single letter. Then looked at it and see if you spelled it right. sometimes that didn't work for me. But, you know, that's the way God has blessed me. I think I've been, I thought I was going to be handicapped because I had this problem of not being able to see things. They get blurry and they letters, words change. That's the reason why I have Jeff read. He's a good reader. And it's very helpful that he does this because then I can walk over here and I says, okay, that's what it said. That's what it says. That's great. You know, so I really appreciate Jeff's work and what he does for me. But in Exodus 12th chapter, here Yahweh is saying unto Moses, this month unto you is the beginning of months, is the first month of the year unto you. Did you catch that? It's not the first month of the world. It's not the first month of the earth. It's the first month unto you. Now, all of a sudden, we have a little bit different picture. We can fight, we can quarrel, we can bicker. That the first of the year is always in April or May or whatever it is. And whenever, you know, enter, and the Jewish calendar, this and that, and this calendar of God is this and that. But I want to talk about to say, unto you. Oh. Now it kind of tells me something. So God is saying to me, Richard, Pesach is for you. The first day of unleavened bread is for you. The way the Omer lifting up is for you. The last day of unleavened bread is for you. The days of purity and truth is for you. I am giving it to you. Preserve it. This is how I think. All right? So I want to bring that out. Because Pentecost is in the same picture. Richard, it's for you. All right? So I take these holidays, shall we say, on a very personal basis. I relate to them on a one-to-one basis with God as much as I can possibly understand. The one thing I know, the Apostle Paul said something, I'm not going to quote it, where's that? Because I don't know exactly. I think it's in Philippians, but I might be wrong. But have this mind that was in Christ in you. Okay. What was in the mind of Christ? The mind of the Creator of heaven and earth. So if I say to God, I want to have that mind that is in your Son, which is, I know it's yours. Will you please grant me your mind? Have you ever thought about that in your world? It's very important because he said, and a very important apostle said, have this one. It's not a mind of a stranger to you, is he? Is Yahshua a stranger, a foreigner, an unknown person? Is the Son of God someone you don't even have idea who he is and what he is and what he thinks about? Yes, you do. And understand that what you are learning, what you have God himself put into your mind, is because he's given you his thoughts, his plan, his truth, his purity. He's given you his hope. On this first day, first month, and first year, it's called a Moad. It's the first month has a moad in it. Appointment. Remember I talked to you about that word before? Not referring to just a time, but an appointment. Remember I told you before? That's called the Feast of Tabernacles, or it's called the Tabernacles of Moed, not of the congregation, not the Tabernacle of Meeting. Meeting is a little better word, by the way. It's the Tabernacle of Moed. That's where you go to receive something from the Creator. What does He want you from you in return? You. He just wants you. You don't want Him to have you? I don't think anybody wants Him. Yeah, take me, take me. You want to be with Him. You want to be part of Him. You want to be like Him. Because in the very beginning He said, He created man in the image of the devil. Oh, I got it wrong. So He created an image of Himself. Whether it's outward appearance, but the inward one is of the Creator. That's why He said, I own your spirit. I put it there. It's mine. Now it sounds like a command. Well, anyway, he says, anyway, it's like he says, I'm going to get it back. Now, on the days of Pentecost, very funny thing, or strange thing, should I say, take place. So I'm going to ask you some questions here. But before I do, I want to talk about this first month and the Moad. In that month was the Moad of the 10th day. In that month was the Moad of the 14th day. In that month of the Moad, it was the month time of unleavened bread and bitter herbs. And in that month, the firstborn of Egypt and that of animal were taken. In that Moad, there was a quick departure at midnight, which also was called the morning. In that Moad, talking the whole month as a Moad month. Appointment, 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 appointment. You understand where I'm going with this so far? Hope you're not confused. In that month is the beginning of the 7 days of unleavened bread. And the 22nd is the sanctification of the firstborn of Israel, which happened on the 15th day of that month. Appointment. Appointment. Moses was told by God to tell Pharaoh, tell him, I want my people out there, for on the third day, we will not go into that detail today, I want them out there. We won't go onto that right now today. That's the history all by itself. And within this month of Moad leads us to the third month, which is the month of what? What happens in the third month? Shavuot. The first month tells you. Some of you may, not all of you, some of you were at the feast one year in which Jeff went through two separate processes. Did you remember that? One involved the days of unleavened bread and Shavuot. And the other one involves something else. Two separate things from one another, but not completely. You remember that? I have not forgotten it because, well, it's because my friend Jeff, I like the way he thinks a lot. Anyway, this, the Moad month, talking about the first month, leads us to, of course, we understand, involves the Son of God. Everything in it, every action in it, every part of it is connected with the Son of God. This means that we try to understand not just the commandment, not just the ordinances, not just the rules and the regulations, and the thou shalt not, but the mind of the Son of God. This is what this day is telling me. I hope I can be able to explain that to you. We know that during the time of Moses, that God told them to, when you go into the land, that is when you go from here into the land of Canaan, there are certain things I want you to do. And he says, now, what I want for you to do is to take Rashit Karzer. During the days of unleavened bread, there is a Rashit Karzer. What does Rashit mean? The beginning. You know, Bereshit, you heard that one? Put the bet out. It says Rashit means the beginning. And Karzer means harvest. So we're going to take the first of the harvest. Now, all the translations you have, I'm personally telling you, it's a lousy translation. It should not read the first of the crop. It should say, and constantly over and over and over, over again in text, it says the first, not the first, but the beginning of the harvest. Now, we heard a word, Omar. And Omar is a weight. It's a mount. It can be measured in a bushel, like anything does we have, a bushel of wheat, a bushel of hay, a bushel of this, or it can be done also by grain, by the weight of grain, how much it is in a bushel, or in this thing measuring called Omar. And so the Lord said to Moses that you will raise up the Rashit. You will raise up the Omar of Rashit Karzer during the days of unleavened bread. Now we try to understand that. We try to do, we have a symbol. We try to do that. But we don't have, you know, a bushel of barley or wheat or anything. And we have grains, barley grains, you know. It's all we have, you know. But tells us to something to picture and to look for on the physical plane. But on the other side of the fence, something takes place. All right? As we continue on, I'm in Leviticus 23, just basically, as you know, I'm just kind of running through quickly the Old Testament at this point in time. We'll get to the New Testament in a minute. But I can't just leave here and rush there. It doesn't work for me. All right? And you shall, well let's backtrack here, continuing. I'm sorry, I was in Leviticus, what did I say? Leviticus 23, right? And we were in chapter, I started out with verse 9, and then in 9, and we'll go down to 9, 10, all the way to halfway through this section. And you shall offer on that day when you wave sheaf, or I should say, wave the Omar, that's actually what the word says in Hebrew, a male lamb the first day without blemish, and a whole offering, and its grain offering, two tenths, so a lot more things going on that day that you raise up the Omar. There's more. Now, the subject matter in this series of 50 days is the counting of Omar. As we look farther into it, we say, what is all that about? Now we come to the point of Shavuot. And we come to this point where it comes to an end. You know, he says the count is there. You got it. Count to finish. It's there. It's present. It's there. In Pentecost or in Shavuot. There's the number. 50. 50 what? Omar. Okay. What's an Omar? A weak people. Okay. Now we know that God likens people unto plants and animals and trees in order that we can understand what he's talking about. Because he also told Egypt, Israel, I have harvested you out of Egypt. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Harvested them? Yeah. What did he do with them? He brought them in. To where? His threshing floor. Remember that? So we have a picture here on this particular day in which God has said, this is what you're going to do. We only have one loaf of bread today. I meant to make sure it was only two. There was two, but it isn't. But you want to lift two loaves of bread. I'll put it in a literal sense, all right? You shall count for yourself on the Sabbath and bring forth Omar. That's the same thing as what we call a bushel. Same thing we would call, you know, grain. And you do it. Offering on the Shabbat means inclusive. Some people have a different thing, and I'm not going to argue about the difference between thoughts. I'm not up here to try to prove I got it right and they got it wrong, or they got it wrong and I got it right. I'm not interested in that. I'm only interested in one thing. What does this mean? There always will be a controversy. Always will be a controversy with when the Messiah died and when he rose. There'll always be a controversy whether Sunday is a real Sabbath or Saturday is a real Sabbath. Always will be. The world in a state of confusion. Period. Point blank. I'm not offended if the world is in a state of confusion. Because if I am in the state of confusion, I should be offending myself. I'd be obnoxious to myself because I'm doing things of the world. No, I do my very best to understand what is written. I'm not going to get it right every single time. I'm not supposed to get it right every single time. I'm just supposed to understand. And I want to understand one thing. Because in God said in Proverbs, and all you're getting, get understanding. Details are details. And being in the world of engineering, guess what engineers do? They pay attention to details. And God has said, okay, look at the details, but if you don't understand it, it's worthless. That the Apostle Paul said, right? If I had all the knowledge, the details, preciseness, the perfection of exactly every time, everything, and I don't care about people, I am, well, let's put it in English, crap. All right? Worthless. Or I'll put a nice gentle word here. We're toast. It's how the mind of God is. He's not out there to deliver man into hell. We're already there. What did the Messiah say? The world is already condemned to die. That's what he said. But those who come to the light so they can be right with God. You remember that scripture? It's in John, the 3rd chapter. So just a little back thing. Now, in this particular area, we're going to find another word. I think it's the 22nd chapter, 22nd verse, I think. You count 50 days on the morrow of the Sabbath. This is how I read it because it's written in Hebrew. Then you will offer a grain offering to Yahuwah. You shall bring from your dwelling two loaves And they must have the right amount of oil, the right amount of flour. And he says, the last part, the first fruit to Yahweh. Now, there is where the word shows up as being first fruits. Not what we read earlier. You bring the rasheet of the harvest. Now, on the 50th day, you bring forth the first fruit of the harvest. Now, there's a difference between those two roots, right? We have to keep that in mind as we try to understand what is written. We do our very best to try to figure out by reading what is written to the very best of our ability what Devarim is really trying to tell us. And many of you have heard this before. The Word of God is written so simple that a six-year-old can understand it. When I first heard that many years ago, and I said, Oh my God, maybe 6 years old. So I can understand what you're talking about. You know, become you like little children. Got it. What do 6 year old do? You know, a 6 year old really doesn't challenge, question, debate, argue. They just say, okay, that's it. What do you want me to do? Tell a 6 year old, they go do it. I'm going to punish you? No. You give them a blessing, they're going to take it. Wow, okay. If I do this, you give me that? Yeah. Tell you what. If you clean up your room on a regular daily basis, constantly, I'll give you 50 cents. But if you don't, you don't get any 50 cents. Right? Or if you don't do it halfway, I'm going to take away 50 cents. And all of a sudden, wait. If I clean my house up, I get, instead of allowance, we give them a reward. Guess who's coming to give us a reward? We don't earn it. But he'll give us a reward for seeking his will on this day. I want to talk about a word that's very interesting. I want you to go to Numbers. Book of Numbers 28. And it's not noticed too much in the writings when people have figured, well, in verse of this Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 28. Bear with me, please. I'll get to the end of it. I just want to comment about a word. Here, you know, got to find details. But I love the way it's written. Because this word is used quite often. And it does connect to Shavuot. A lot of things connect to this word that I'm going to talk about today. Connects to the menorah. It connects to the Sabbath. It connects to Yom Kippurim. Also on the, there's that word, first fruit, which we talked about earlier. Then you will bring a grain offering to Yahuwah at your, some of your books going to have, Feast of Weeks. This is not what is there in Hebrew. Knock out 26th verse. Sorry. The word Feast of Weeks is not there. It's not talking about Shavuot. It's talking about what's known in Hebrew as a period of sevens. When a woman is in her period, she's in a period of sevens. When she has a child, male or female, she's in her period of sevens. It's been translated as her weeks. In her week of this, her week of that, her week of this. It means seven, in her period of seven. Every time When you have a disease and you have to be quarantined, it's a period of 7. If it has to be repeated, it's another period of 7. If it has to repeat, it's another period of 7. 7, this word, what says weeks, is a bad translation. It just means, and literally means, a period of 7s. You're going to have 7 years of, remember, Egypt? The 7 period of drought. 7 period of abundance. So we have this 7 all over the place, don't we? You'll find it in Daniel. You'll find it throughout the scriptures. 7, 7, 7s in everything. Now, that tells me something about the Feast of 7. It has to have a package of 7. And that's why it's called the Feast of 7s. Not just one, but a package deal. So from the time of the first Omer, during the days of unleavened bread, all the way to the time of the addition of or completion of Shavuot, the number comes to an end, or it has been completed and finished. You understand so far where I'm going? It's a little bit of confusion right now. So I just want to bring in those things of sets of 7s. It's very interesting because, you know, what did Peter say to the Messiah? 7 times a day? So I'll have period of 7s. No, he said 7 periods of 70 or 70 periods of 7. Wow. Now, when we, in our world, we say, yeah, okay, 7 times a day. Okay, no. A period of, can you count that much? Because that's how God looks at you and looks at me and looks at people. Ah.
There are probably some people out there who could keep track of that. We just wouldn't like them very much.
She's a neat lady. So after we count and understand what this is all about, we have a period of what's called 7s. A lot of 7, a period, a set of 7s, not just 7. Because the weekly Sabbath is a set of 7 days. Not just one, a set of. Because what did the eternal creator of heaven and earth say in the second chapter of Genesis? Oh, look what I have made. He didn't separate the Sabbath from his creation. He brought his creation into the Shabbat. Right? This is the reason why you have Hebrews talking about you will not enter into my rest, my place of 7. Sets of 7. We've heard this thing before, right? There's 6,000 years of man, and then there's 1,000 years of God. Okay. Period of 7s coming in. I don't know if that is true. I have no idea. I wasn't there at the creating. I didn't mark down the calendar. I have no idea. I just had to take a, even Moses wasn't even there. Nor was Abraham. The only one was there who wrote anything down was a guy named Adam. And his wife named Eve. They were there, but they had to be told what was about. Oh, they probably wrote it down. Okay, this is it. We got it. We got the picture. Why? Did they challenge God? They question God? Said, who are you? Who do you think you are? I know what's going on. This world's been around billions of years before you came around. We evolved into fantastic human beings. Who are you? No. That wasn't going through a brain. Was it? So the only witness we have back then, closest witness we have is Adam and Eve. You don't have to accept them. Some people don't. All right. Now, I want to talk one thing about what's required. I'm in this chapter. I'm going to get back to my book. We're in chapter, where am I at? Now, we're in Leviticus, right? 23. Leviticus 23. I want you to drop down to verse 22. Very important, interesting statement here. Now, during this time, this particular situation is connected with Shavuot. And here is where God said something about Shavuot. So here we will have a little bit more understanding. My hope is, what was in God's mind? What was he thinking? How does he think? And did the Son of God think that way also? Well, we got to find out, don't we? Understand this. We're here to learn to the very best of our ability the mind that was in the Messiah. And so we listen to the Messiah to find out what was in the mind of the Creator of heaven and earth. Does that make sense to you? I've always said to you, and I will always repeat myself over and over again, and I won't get tiring, the Bible is not about people and what they do or don't do, whether they're rotten or good or holy or just. It's about God making his will be completed, finished. Remember what Paul says, he, God, started the good work of you, and he, God, is going to finish it. No preacher can do that. You can't even do that. You're weak. You're unweak. Apostle Paul says he's weak. He can't do it. But guess who he's thankful for? So let's go on here now. Let's read this verse. When you reap the harvest, the chazir, of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners. That means not the four corners, all the way around. Don't get it. Oh, okay, there's 3.5 foot of corner there. Oh, here's 3.5 foot over. And over here, don't look at corners in the sense of in a square or rectangular, but on all points, all the way around the harvest. I've said this before to you before. There are four corners of this earth. How many corners do you see out there?
Four.
You see four? Yeah. Because the world's flat, right? It's a flat earth, flat world. It's always got corners, right? Don't go off the corner. Yeah. Anyway. It's a Hebraic phrase meaning all the way around. That's why there's four corners on the altar all the way around. Four corners on the golden altar all the way around. Four corners on the ark all the way around. All right? Keep that in mind. Nor shall you gather any gathering from your harvest, meaning that four corners, those corners are in harvest, the outside, outer parameters are outside of your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor. Stranger. That's weird. I mean, we're supposed to provide for them? No. You leave it for them. God provides for them by the corner. You will not glean all of the threshing floor. What's that left for? It's left for three groups of people. For the poor, for the widow, and for the stranger. Now, you've done all the harvesting, and you did all the threshing. He says, don't clean it up. Let them do it. And what's all this about? It's about physical food. It's about physical work. It's about physically making them earn their food by them going out and doing it. Or is it God saying, it's for them? Yes.
I actually like the Septuagint translation of this. Now, this is a translation of a translation, and I acknowledge that, because you have from Hebrew to Greek to English. But I'll give the English translation of it. Leviticus 19:9 through 10 says, and when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not make a thorough job of your harvest, okay, to harvest your field altogether, and you shall not gather what falls down of your harvest. And you shall not harvest your vineyard over again and gather the grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the guest. It is I who am the Lord your God.
Yeah, I like, that's just fine with me. I have no conflict with that at all. The whole purpose is, what is the purpose of it? We can get details. That's fine. Go ahead.
When Ruth was getting her food from the field, she was following the reapers. or the what? Reapers.
Good point. Good point, my dear. All right. Now let's go to the New Testament for fun. Are ready for it? Okay. Get in there. We'll go to Romans first. A couple of verses of Romans. Have a background of the rest of what has been written. I'm only going to cover a couple of verses. But in Romans 8th chapter, verse 23. Not only, but we also have the first fruit of the Spirit. We have what? In Hebrew, it would be Bekurim. Bekurim. Bekurim means the first fruit. That's what that means. We read that in the other, later in Exodus, or was it Exodus or Leviticus? I can't remember. We are the first. But not what? You're not the what? We are not the Rashit. Passover, days of Shavuot is the first fruits. Something had to come first. The beginning had to start first. Of the harvest. And that was raised up to God and given to God, acceptable for you, acceptable for me, acceptable for everybody. We all kind of picture, okay, we're talking about this Messiah being raised up again from the dead and being presented to God, and now life. And now it comes to the Feast of Shavuot, and it's a picture of, let's say, the finishing of the Omer. It's the completion of what? Being raised up into life. Into life like the Messiah is into life. Now, let's go in a little farther. Let's go to First Corinthians chapter 15. Oh, yes, go ahead.
I just want to comment. I didn't get to pray, and there's a prayer on my heart in the prayer season, and it was that Messiah came for life, that we would have life,
uh-huh,
his life. He didn't come for us to have right this or that or religion. He didn't come us for to be doctrinally correct. He came that we would have life and that to the full. And he cares about our cats and he cares about our dogs and he cares about all the little things that concern us that are in our heart.
God's because God's involved directly in the creation.
He came yes. for our life.
That's that God sent. Life. God sent him to do that.
Yes.
That's the most beautiful thing about the mind of God. Is God really interested in how great detail you understand every jot and tittle? No. He's interested in you to have understanding. The only way you're ever going, or I am ever going to get understanding is from what? Reading Devarim Elohim. And beseeching him earnestly to answer the questions. Beseeching him earnestly, help me to find it. And beseeching him earnestly to help me to knock on that door and let me come in. You understand what I'm saying? Those wonderful words of the Messiah go through my brain an awful lot. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's called the resurrection chapter, of course, but that's just a phrase. I will call it the chapter of life. Okay, let's put it that way, all right? The chapter of no more death, no more sorrows, no more tears. That's what I would call it. But that's just me, and I'm just me. They said now in the verse 20, very interesting word, because by the way, Greek was written, it had no commas, exclamation points, no periods, no nothing. It was a continual statement, just like Hebrew was, just a continual statement. So you have to know when to stop, when the subject matter's there, but we're not going to go there today. Now the Messiah, verse 20, is risen from the dead, has become the... It says first fruits. Okay, I can understand that. That sounds good. Because in a sense, he is. But he was the rashit of the first fruit. He was the beginning. What happens afterwards? Verse 23. But each one in his own order. The Messiah, the first fruits, after those who are Messiahs. Coming. So there's an afterwards. There is a fruit called the first fruit is going to be at his coming. Oh yeah, well, of course, it's resurrected the dead in every eye. Well, that's true. But I want to ask you a question. Do you know exactly who is the first fruit? If you know that, then blessed be you because you're paying attention to the mind of the Son of God. Now, I want to backtrack just a little bit to understand something. Well, no, let's go on to, I don't want to go in Revelations at all. I want to go into, I think what I have here, Book of Acts. Everybody goes to Book of Acts, right? Very famous section here. Acts chapter 2. We can go into detail and clarification and edification and thought about the words and understanding those. Let's just read it. A lot easier. Well, I don't have to work so hard. Verse 1. And the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, you remember what happened when the Israelites were there receiving the Ten Commandments? What sound was that? Now, A different, remember I said a different sound comes? It's a wind. But didn't cover all of Jerusalem. It didn't flood the entire Mediterranean Sea. It didn't affect the entire nation of Judah. Only affected what? That one room. Wow. And, of course, we kind of know what took place. That wind, remember the word of God, the word wind is the same thing as the word for spirit. Spirit is the same thing for the word of wind, both in Hebrew and in Greek. So now we have here this wind, and it filled the room. Ah, listen. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire. We hate this word fire. We think it's fire. It's light. The menorah is a light. You are a light. I'm not on fire. I don't have a flame coming out of my head. I may have a flame gun in my mouth, but not out of my head. I'm not on fire in the sense that I got a lot of heat behind me. No. It's light. They didn't have the switchboard, you know, light switch. They didn't have a pull chain even for the, you know. They didn't have all that fancy stuff. They had candles, not candles, but they had, what do they call those things? Little oil lamps. The light in the room. That's what they had. But this came and it landed where? On them. Now, how many were in the room? 120. It's a lot of fire, isn't it? Did they come out and with hell, fire, and brimstone as they walked out and telling people you're going to go to hell? I'm the fire? No. They came out telling us. Shavuot. Telling us. The count. Now, on this day, how many? Someone need to back that up. I don't know right offhand. Was it 3,000 that time, something like that? On that day. Oh, wait a minute. That's only one loaf. Where's the other one? Where's the other one? Where's the other loaf? Where's it? Only one? Yeah. Where's the other one? It didn't show up for 20 years later. Because when Cornelius was baptized, or before he was baptized, Peter said something very fascinatingly. He said, it came, that fire, came upon them as it came upon us on the first. Meaning Shavuot. That's the other loaf. Did God delay his promise? There was a man that called me up the phone a couple days ago. And he was so overjoyed. He says, now I finally understand. The law is really in my mind and in my heart. Think about it day in and day out. It's the most wonderful thing that I could ever think about. I don't have to try. It's there. And I says, blessed be you, because God has given you his truth. Now, it didn't happen when he thought it was going to happen. You see, God delays. Probably not for that man's sake, but maybe for my sake. Oh, wow. It gives me a excitement about that. Anyway, that's just a side trip.
Did he delay so that the Jewish people wouldn't freak out?
No, they were already got. Okay. 3,000 and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. One, so seven, eight. So one chapter said with 5,000 added daily. They increased rapidly.
I don't know the number. Doesn't tell us the number. We just know that the Jewish people were rapidly adding and adding and adding, and they're adding, increasing. Now, did they have some in there that wanted to not allow the stranger to come in and harvest? Yes. Not the Jewish people. Let's, okay. The leadership of the Sanhedrin. Okay, let's leave it at that. Let's leave it at that. Okay, I'm not going to go into detail. But there are always going to be somebody who thinks more about the will of God than the will of God does. Maybe it sounds funny what I just got to saying, but a lot of people think they know more about the will of God than God himself knows about his will. And they always have to correct God's will by correcting God. But that's not what your will is, God. Your will is this. Have you ever said that? Kind of stupid statement. But in a way, when you challenge Devarim Elohim and question, he says, no, that's not what he said. It's not what he meant. He said this and not that. We're going to buy this because that's what he said, but it's not written. I don't care if it's not written or not. He didn't say that. He said this. How many times have you been in your Christian world? How many times have you had to fight or argue or make a statement? But it's not written. It's still of God. It's still what God wants us to do. Sunday is the true day of rest. God meant it to be that. He changed it because God changed it when he took the life of his son and raised his son up on Sunday morning when the sun was coming up on Easter day. I'm being cynical. Excuse me. Hope you can kind of edit this stuff out of there sometimes. But this is not about that. It's about now when the Gentiles were open. By the way, who did God send to the Gentiles? What took place? No. Peter. But listen carefully. Listen carefully. God had to send the Gentiles to Peter first, before Peter, after the scene of the unclean animals, he had to be corrected and taught by the will of God. And then, and only then, did Peter come down off and went into a Goyim's house, which was against the law. He said so. He said so. It's against the law. And he went in. And he started talking to them. And all of a sudden, this same thing happened. He said, when we were there, when it happened to us, the Spirit of God came and did the very same thing it did to us. How can you reject that? How can you throw it out and say, no, it's not God? Huh? But it was written. Pass Sabaoth tells you it was written. It's for the stranger. It's those who are not of the house of Jacob. It is for those who are apart from and separate from the house of Jacob. And for the poor in spirit. Now, remember what Jeff said about that phrase, poor in spirit? Do you remember what that word meant? Remember what he said? He taught us. Did it mean he's poor because he's a lousy spiritual person? No. His spirit is so weak. His spirit is so with no strength. There's not power or anything in to be able to perform or do anything of any value. And God said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit.
Did you say weak spirit?
Weak spirit. Not weakened, not weak by, not poor by poverty stricken, not poor by some of the circumstances, but poor inside. Their spirit is weak, poor, has no value, it's worthless. And he said, blessed are they that are that way. Why? Because then God can fill their weak. Apostle Paul says, our spirit is weak, and we have infirmities. And the Spirit of God unites and makes our spirit strong. He's not killing the spirit he put in us. He is to strengthen our spirit so our spirit will be life itself. Okay? Time is it going to be? Okay. That's getting a little late. Okay, I just want to go back and remind you this day is a very important day. And yes, we were strangers. We're not of the house of Jacob. We were strangers. Oh, yes, we were cast out ones. But guess what? He calls back the cast out ones because the cast out ones became like goyim, strangers, apart, separated from God, God himself. Any more questions? Any more thoughts? Did we learn anything new? Did we understand something new? Yes.
Top 5 points. What are the top 5 points? Of your message. Could you come down the top 5 points of your message? I'd just like to, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What's your outline? Can you do it? Because it was really long and I want to just get the whole meat of it.
What? Okay. My first top point is, if I could use that terminology, I don't exactly got what order. Okay. Have this mind that was in Yeshua. Have that same mind, and you're going to have that mind because the Spirit of God comes down on Pentecost at the time of the book of Acts and gave them his mind. Gave him his understanding. Gave him his life. How many times do I say this? Is that okay? That's just one number two. The second loaf. The first loaf we saw in Book of Acts, chapter 1, 2. That's the second loaf. Happened on the very same timing as it happened to the Gentiles. It happened to them. How many years later? I don't know, but it's actually 20. It might be, this is my personal opinion because they don't have the exact number. It's probably in a period of number sevens. I don't know. I don't know. Well, that's not it. I don't think I go any farther. My main point is, if anything ever I ever say to anything to anybody, is beseech him. When you have to have an answer, beseech him. It is written. If you want to find something, beseech him, and you will find it. If you want to knock on his door, to get understanding, knock on his door, and he said he will open it up. Go inside and stay inside. Don't depart.
You've been listening to a discussion at Hillel Fellowship. If you would like to hear more discussions or if you have any questions, visit the website at hillel.info. That's H-A-L-L-E-L.info, hillel.info.